לא רואה, כי הכרתי את אבי לכם.
כתתם לו ביטל. לא ביטל.
תגיד מה, אחור. תגיד לי, אני אז נגיד, אני חושב את האם כן. With a piece of legislation before the political committee, which is passed. We have deliberated on that matter, but we thought that it is important that we bring it to the committee so that we are in agreement that let's withdraw this bill before the committee and send it back to the Department of Land Affairs. Because initially when we drew this piece of legislation before us to in 2005, we referred it to the Department of Housing. And it has a bearing on both departments, both the land affairs and the housing. So we feel that this piece of legislation will be better dealt with within the land affairs, doing it in consultation with the Department of Housing. So we thought if you allow us to do that, so that that process can go ahead, that letter can go to the Speaker, can also go to the Chair of Committees, Chair of Housing Committees, Jeff Deutsch. You want me, member, to read this letter before you? Can I read it for you? Okay. The Committee on Housing held a meeting on Wednesday 11th, which is today, where it was noted with concern that the prevention of the PIE bill will not be dealt with due to the following reasons. One, issues raised by the Portfolio Committee in 2005 have not been incorporated into the current bill in a successful manner, in particular the position of farm workers in relation to evictions. Secondly, the committee has been emphatic that the extension of the Security of Tenure Act, which is ESTA, Labour Tenants Act, and PIE need to be aligned. It's for that reason that the committee feels that this bill should be referred to the Department of Land Affairs to look at this alignment and to do so in consultation with the Department of Housing. Unfortunately, the committee is not in a position to process this piece of legislation. The PIE is a very complex piece of legislation, and there is no way that the committee can redraft the bill. We therefore propose that the principal act must remain in force. Thank you. Do members agree with that sentiment? Because in a nutshell, we're just trying to do that. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Sure, yes, I do agree. However, just two things that I'd like to point out that perhaps we should add to the letter. First of all, I think we need to be very clear that it's the Amendment Bill B8 of 2008 that we're referring back.
Yeah.
And then secondly, Chairperson, your last sentence, that paragraph, indicates that the original act must remain in place.
Yes.
Now, you know, Chairperson, that there has been some very serious unintended consequences.
Mm.
And it's been a few years now since the amendment was proposed.
Yeah.
And that if you could perhaps add something there, that it should enjoy some sort of priority, the amendments, because we can't just leave the principal act as it is. So in view of the unintended consequences of that original act, that the amendments be prioritized.
That's fine. That's fair enough. Can we dispense it in terms of that? With just that those two amendments. You want to add another amendment, ma'am?
Thank you very much. I'm not getting anything, but I just want to concur with Mr. Steyn. He said, let's put that
amendment.
Let's insert that amendment.
Okay.
And we with the concern that we are aware that this legislation cannot be settled within a short space of time. So it needs more time to deal with it. And then I think on those basis,
Fine, member. Okay. Is there any supporter for the move to accept the letter? Thanks, members. We have dispensed with that. We'll deal with that when we finish here now. Okay? Members, then can we go to... We welcome the department. You can take care... Oh, sorry, I didn't see you. Sorry. You just came at a time we were dispensing with the some to you. Don't be far. This is the legal department of the yourself. But you have the sentiment, and it sounds like this is the amicable way in which you can exit from this quagmire. And I'm sure it will help you to breathe also. Okay, sure. And you have clearly, deliberately, even said to lend a sense, because the problem of the delay was the fact that it was with housing. So lend a sense, but we were saying lend a sense must deal with it in consultation with housing. So in that way it helps you. Okay. Thank you very much. Then we go to NHDRC. Yes, and we just want to say as the portfolio committee, we welcome the engagement with you, yourself, and if you could introduce your team, and we welcome the chairperson. Of course, we must welcome the chairperson of NHDRC. You're welcome, ma'am. And the CEO. Okay, if you could introduce your delegation, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable member. With me is the Chairperson of Council from the Amendment, the Chief Financial Officer, Courtney Stock, our Joint Economic Support Person in Finance, Dr. Malada, Support Person in the CEO, and our Advocate Mabunda in the end, Support Person in the CEO. I just need to put it clear that we couldn't come at the previous meeting because we are moving from one IT system to the new IT. But thank you very much for the opportunity. As a reminder, this is the vision of the NHDRC. As was said in our 2007-2008 strategic corporate plan, to be a world-class organization which protects us from consumers and regulate owned by the industry. Our mission is to provide excellent customer service to all stakeholders in the onboarding industry. We have a benchmark for NHDRC technical standards in terms of national and international norms to build capacity of home builders with particular focus on the uplifting the historically disadvantaged individuals to promote quality and innovation in home building construction, grow and sustain the warranty fund, capacitate housing consumers about their rights, duties and obligations, promote and maintain ethical standards in the home building. This sums up our business in 2007-2008. Our very statement of NHDRC customer service excellence remains our priority. Good corporate governance, we are learning and caring organization, accountability, responsibility, transparency, committed to moral integrity, trust, and loyalty. Our motto is quality is our priority. Our strategy is to improve visibility in the market and enhance interaction with home builders and housing consumers. This is our 2007-2008. Our commitment is customers are in our hearts and quality remains our priority. In terms of the Act says to us we need to regulate the home building industry. We need to protect housing consumers. We need to establish technical and promote technical and ethical standards in the building industry. We need to promote structural quality in the interest of housing consumers and home building industry to represent the interest of housing consumers by providing a warranty protection against the new defects, promote housing rights and to provide housing consumer information to communicate with and assist home builders to register, to assist builders through training and inspection to achieve and maintain satisfactory technical standards, and to regulate insurers as contemplated in Section 2398. This is what the Act said, and we will respond to all these matters. The business of the NHDRC, as a quick reminder before I get to the details, consumer protection process, at the top you see registration, that's what we do, we register builders. For some reason,
why
is that registration
here?
Wrong.
Sorry? I don't think it's as calm because they still like it. So it's not load shedding.
It's the new IT system they changed it.
So, thank you. unfortunately, your presentation is on transparency. Let's carry on. Members must put on their sunglasses.
Okay.
Your spectacles. Look at it.
Good idea. Let's see if you can read it more.
If you allow me to continue in the meantime, not to take too much of your time, because it's a technical problem.
Okay,
I'm going to refer you to this document. That's the document that we're reading from. Although I'll still be using my slides, yes?
Okay.
We are on the slide, I'll go slide by slide.
Sure.
That's page 3, the cycle.
Yeah.
In fact, I was on consumer protection process, some of
this.
Okay, may I suggest that the CEO read from the printed one just so that he can see how small the text is and
that we have to
actually read from this. So let's see if he has any problems or not.
And you just can't read it himself, don't you? It's impossible to see.
Thank you, Chair. I forgot my
spectacles. Exactly.
If I were to talk about the consumer protection cycle, at the top of the registration, we register home builders. It's illegal for anybody to trade in the industry unless it's registered with the NSDRC. We provide standards on the left-hand side. We enroll homes. We inspect homes. We handle complaints between home builders and housing consumers. We conciliate between home builders and housing consumers. We undertake remedial work where home builders are unable to undertake remedial work, either due to collapse of the business or failure of the institution or their contract. Chairperson, then we provide a fund. We're going to talk about the fund. This summarizes our business.
Okay.
Now, let me then present the 2007-2008. In terms of governance, we've got council. We've got council committee. We know for some time we did not have council. Now we've got council. And we've got different committees of council. Fund and finance deals with the finances of council. Registration deals with matters relating to owner-builder. Technical and claims deals with innovative technology, no erythmology, all new ideas and innovations. Claims deals with people that have requested assistance from the NHBRC. Audit is independent.
Switch off our phones, please. They disturb the system.
This deals with the risk of the NHBRC, tender committee. Disciplinary committee is a committee that deals with home builders that fail to comply with the act. It's an independent committee. Human resources, industry advisory, that gets information about the needs of the industry and tries to respond to those needs. One of the issues that we are proudly to talk about this year is that we've got a code of conduct for home builders, and we also have the grading system that goes through this committee. Education and training and disciplinary steering committee. The disciplinary steering committee is an internal committee that assesses decisions of management. Our corporate structure is CEO, COO, Executive Director of Finance. This is Finance and Supply Chain. That's our Chief Financial Officer. We have a risk about internal audit, and we've got marketing and the Chief Operating Officer. In terms of our structure, we now have satellite offices. We've got one in Kalten, we've got two in KwaZulu-Natal, we've got two in the Eastern Cape, two in Limpopo, one in Mpumalanga, one in Northwest, one in Free State. This is in addition to our provincial office.
I think the CEO must let you know, we always say that documents that come to Parliament must be user-friendly. Nobody can see what is written here. So we want, when you bring documents, somebody must check the quality of the dinner that comes to Parliament. Because we cannot follow what you are doing. But because you've got that, but we just want it to be noted. But it is important when you bring documents, they should be user friendly.
102,000 850 projects. Unfortunately, we have received less from provinces, always running the same case itself. Looking at these figures, in this graph, you will see that the project enrollment target, the yellow and blue, the project enrollment was very high, the home enrollment was very high, but if you look at the actual, there have been very few home enrollments of provinces or municipalities compared to last year, that is 2006-2007. In terms of project enrollment, the same thing is reflected. This reflects that most of the provinces have not yet been able to enroll projects with the NHGRC. We're expecting the graph on the left as you can see, but we have not achieved that because it's not yet many projects. In terms of our training, Chairperson, we just wanted to show that training, yes, we have exceeded our target. This one shows training in terms of provinces. We proudly report that you have done training in all the provinces, as you can see on the slide. Eastern Cape, Free State, Country, Wazir, Natal, Mpofu, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape. Unlike the previous year, we have now covered the whole country, but we still have to do more. With regard to project enrollment, you can see the project received by the NHGRC in the first slide, and projects are grouped because of non-compliance. If you look at the brown color, that shows you projects that you sent back to provinces and to municipalities because they did not comply with the GFSH1 or GFSH2. Those are the government requirements. Provinces and municipalities or their agencies are point engineers. When the documents do not comply, NHGRC rejects them and we take them back to the province. The same would apply in terms of home enrollment. We want confirmation on each and every side. If you look at the project received, project approved in that slide, you see the number of projects that have not complied. Of course, this has been communicated to provinces and we have had around MECs to still, I think we are left with two or three MECs to decide this matter. If you look at the forensic audit, just to remind the honorable members, forensic audit is for houses built between 1994 and 2002. Now, we were requested by National Department to go and do forensic audit on those units. If you look, we have covered all provinces except for Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal. We have not yet been invited in those provinces to do forensic audit. But in all other provinces, we have started with the forensic audit. And on your right-hand side, we are just showing the amount of money that has gone into the estimated cost of repair. Chart on the forensic audit is just a reflection of what I've shown you. And the amount is a reflection of what I've shown you. I've earlier on spoken about the grading system. This is a system that we have now introduced. It should be implemented. It was approved in March in the reporting year or accounting year, and it should be implemented in the new financial year, which is the current financial year. We are showing grade A, grade B, grade C, grade D. Just for the reminder of the honorable members, the most important one is grade CU. And this is sometimes the matter that is raised with us. If you look at CU, we've got 1.3 of the selling price. That has not changed. Now, if you are a new entrant in the market, you still pay 1.3. If you have not been upgraded or degraded, you still pay 1.3. But if you are a continuous offender, you then move to grade G, which is then a surcharge. This will be implemented during the current financial year. If you are a good builder, you move to either B or A, which means the enrollment fee becomes less for those people that are performing well in the industry. If we look at remedial work, this is non-subsidy sector. We have done remedial work in the following provinces. Now I come to the budget, 2007-2008.
Can you just go back to the previous slide? Yeah.
Thank you. The Culture has been the highest, Western Cape has been the highest in terms of housing units that need to be either rebuilt or repaired by the NHBRC fund. Repairs that are done by the home builders are not part of it, because every time we give a non-compliant home builders repair. Financial statement 2007-2008, if you look at the two columns, we've got actual and we've got budget. Then we've got variance, favorable or unfavorable. What are we trying to demonstrate with favorable or unfavorable? What you are seeing here is a report after the curial services. I need to explain this. Because if you remove the curial services, the figures will be different. Like I've reported previously to the committee, every year we conduct an actuarial because NHBRC provides an insurance service. So because of the insurance service you have provided, we approach different actuarial companies. For the past year, we use Investor Pretoria, Premium, Deloitte. This time, we use a new company called Makoto. So in terms of Makoto, I'm going to highlight what their arguments are. Our total revenue is still positive. We've done 576 million. That is our actual performance. But in terms of our normal performance, we think we're 58 million less. If you look at an end premium and unexpired risk provision, this is done by actuarial, they have put it at 260. We will show the details later. Courtney will explain. If you look at our operating costs, you can see we are unfavorable to 20 million. Outstanding claims, this is again a provision, is 290 million. If you look at our gross margin, it's 546 as opposed to budget. Our fixed cost is 92, we'll explain why. Our surplus is 285. Our interest is higher than expected. Because of the yield on the bond, we thought we were going to perform very badly. We did not perform that badly. If you look in terms of budget, we're expecting it 9 million, but we're able to get 177 million. Surplus after interest, that is 42 million. This figure and this amount always gives us problem because for the public we've got a lot of money. Now, the variances which need to be explained here. In terms of registration of home builders, we've got a variance of 200 million. 200,000. 200,000 is driven by your buying of books, so it's not a great concern for us. What seems to be a serious concern for us is home enrollment, the drop in number of enrollment, which then affects the total data. But we need to say to this committee that what helps us in the market is the inflation. The more prices go up, the higher our prices. And this is where you've got the nexus in terms of the dichotomy of which one is best. Late enrollment, we've been charging what we've pretty well there. The subsidy market. In the subsidy market, the number of projects, like I've indicated earlier on, we've received fewer projects, that's why we've got a negative of 15 million. All enrollment from provinces, we receive fewer projects, we've got 25 million. If you look at other technical invoices, we've got 10 million. This is where we do forensics. Is as per the request by the provinces. If you look at now variances, major variances on expenditure, you can see that on our operating costs, which I showed earlier on, our actual is 60 million as opposed to 40 million. What drives this? This is driven by the increase in inspection that we showed earlier on Japan. If you look at our fixed costs, we are looking positive. Because of having, we're able to save 92 million in terms of the budget. But this, you'll see in the next slide, is going to go down because at that time, our satellite offices were not fully operational. So this is going to increase. Other major variances will be in consulting. It's positive we did not consult much. Audit, I've just shown you the cost there. We still have to do more in audit. Depreciation. Depreciation is based on our IT system. I indicated earlier on that we have moved from the old JD Edwards to the Oracle system. Next year, this figure is going to increase because now we've got all the equipment. Inspection, this is more with regards to the subsidy project inspectors. We want to change the route to outsource inspectors. Marketing, to have spent less, it looks positive, we have to spend more this year. Services, we signed most of the contracts during 2007-2008, that's why it shows the savings. Traveling costs is related to employment, more people on the NHGRC, more meetings, more traveling. So they all look positive, but we are already saying next year they are going to be different because these are processes that are still incomplete. In terms of reserve, adequacy of enrollment fee, chairperson here is another input from the actuarial services. This is a report we get. I'm just going to quickly try to explain it. On the left-hand side, bottom line is surplus. The interpretation thereof is that for every unit for the previous financial year, we were able to get a surplus of 2,994. That's how it should be interpreted in total. That is 43% of the total enrollment fee. Now, if you look at the next column, that is non-subsidy. If you look at the non-subsidy itself, you can see that our surplus is 3,102, which means for each and every unit, if we were to go back, we've made a profit of 3,102. Then you go to the subsidy sector, you get a negative, 74. The reason is in brackets, it says that the amount of money that is paid to the NHGRC for enrollment is less. But because of cross-subsidization of subsidy and non-subsidy, the actuaries are saying to us that the enrollment fee is adequate and the NHGRC is solvent. So it's very important for me to explain that slide. That's above it is an average fee per enrollment. If we were charging the above rate, this would have been the above rate of pay as calculated in the previous financial year. And you can look at our cost here done by actuaries, enrollment and inspection, complaints and conciliation, and remedial work. This has an impact on our future planning. In terms of solvency, I've already indicated to the honorable members that we are solvent. Our monies are with the following companies: Cadiz, African Harvest, J.M. Boucher, Mergent, Metropolitan, Taquanta. So we're talking about monies that are 2.4 billion. That is cash available. Then we talk about unearned premium provision, 870 million, outstanding claims, 47 million. Important here is additional unexpired risk provision for the subsidy sector. We're looking at 66 million. Of course, we have not undertaken any remedial work in the subsidy sector. If you look at what actuaries are saying to us, everything for 2007-2008 finance-wise is positive. Surplus 150%, surplus on enrollment 226. Now, this shows the difference between different actuarial companies. If you look at what University of Pretoria did last year, using same figures, using different methodologies, we did not get same results. So this is positive in terms of actuaries. This is just a summary of unearned premiums and outstanding claims and unexpired risk. Important column is the subsidy sector. The non-subsidy, you can see, if you were to look at the 5 years that's coming, this 850 million is still not our money until 5 years expire. 44 million is what we believe we can spend, but it's not as it was actually the same. Is the risk, that's what we can, we might get a claim, and the same column would be right with the subsidy sector, unexpired risk for 56 million. And this is our reserves regarding training. We've told this committee some time ago about our savings. We opened with 15 million. We transferred 37 million. In total, I think it's not transferred. Our opening reserve here was 16.1 million and a transfer of, that is the budget, our total budget. That was transferred is 87 million. So in total, as NHGRC, we've put aside 37.2 million for training. Budget 2007, 2008, 2009, as requested, I'll also refer back to what I've said earlier on. This is the current financial year. What we are doing as of April. This budget has already been approved by the national department. Just a quick reminder, this is what we charge for enrollment. Nothing has changed. We just want to confirm we're still charging the same fee. With enrollment, say for the grading system, figures are still as is. We just wanted to reconfirm to the committee. Nothing has changed. Project enrollment, subsidy sector, same assumption. There's not been an increase on project enrollment. There's not been an increase on home enrollment. But it's important for me to raise this with members of the committee. We are working with national department and provinces to collapse project enrollment and home enrollment. We want to have one home enrollment in the subsidy sector, like is happening in the non-subsidy sector. So this is work in progress. We are hoping that we will find a common ground with the provinces and national department. Revenue, this is projected. That is the future. You know where we earn our revenue is registration of home builders, renewal of existing home builders, late enrollment, home enrollment, technical means forensic audit, and builder grading discount. The builder grading discount is a new item in this committee. It comes from the grading system. You have seen the variations of the grading system. Now we're talking about a 7 million discount. This should go to your A and B grading builders. That's the only thing new there. Subsidy, we have put it very high. We've spoken to provinces like I've indicated. We're expecting more projects from provinces this year. We're estimating we'll get 45 million from provinces, 45 million on subsidy project enrollment, and 27 million. So our estimate for this current financial year is 27 million. Enrollment distribution per province, this is what we've got from different provinces. If you on the non-subsidy sector, you can still see that in terms of our projection for this current financial year, we're expecting Kaohsiung and Western Cape to bring in more capital to the NHBRC. Those are our cash cows. If we cannot get those numbers, then we'll not have as much money as was estimated in the budget. Subsidy section, we're estimating that we will have at least 100 homes enrolled. I've shown the figures earlier on. These are just the number of enrollments as projected in the current financial year. Operational expenditure, just to remind honorable members, before you become a member of the NHBRC, you need to be accredited, you need to go through your application, you need to do checks. Credit checks to make sure that you are a good citizen, we still do those things. So nothing has changed there. This is our assumptions on our operational expenditure. Inspection, you will see we are talking about a minimum of 4 and a maximum of 8 on inspection. At least a unit must have 4 minimum inspections. Bigger units about 2 million, at least 8 inspections. This is our inspection assumption for the year. We believe we spend about 96 million on inspection in the current financial year. If all the units are constructed as projected. Fixed expenditure, very important. I've talked about this earlier on. We have opened new offices like I've indicated. Our total cost for new offices is 18 million. Counting KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, East London, but Polokwane, Zanin, instead of Polokwane, you should read Limpopo in Zanin, and then Limpopo, Bela Bela. Those are where our satellite offices are. Polokwane is a car for the town. Free State, Kledzop, and Midbank. Earlier on, I indicated that our expenditure on offices was less in the previous financial year. It's likely to be more this year because now we've got all these new offices that have been established. Marketing, we're looking at 10 million that we spend on marketing, advertising, promotions, and provincial awards and provincial exhibitions. We want to have to be present in all the exhibitions, and we also have an industry advisory committee that's going to visit all the provinces. Fixed expenditure, we've got a special chairperson's program, 3 million. This has to do with training. You know that you have engaged in a program of training with youth. paying for the seat while at university. They've also put aside 150 million for special projects on innovation. This includes Eric Molobi. You've heard about our interactions with provinces regarding shortage of materials. We're saying we can give up support if we've got a service provider that are ready to assist. Youth, we've put an additional in the new budget, 7.5 million. Contact centers, we've put 0.5. So in total, on our fixed assets, we're looking at 161. Income statement, we've given it in 3 years. The most important one here would be then our surplus. We're looking at a reduced surplus of 200 because we are making more money available on the project that I've shown earlier on. These are the projects. That could show why we're going to spend more. I just have to show you the major fixed expenditure there and the fixed expenditure here and the new offices. This is what influences your surplus after interest there. Revenue variance. I just look at where you've got like anticipating further challenges. We've had a lot of projects coming this year. We're left with two provinces. That's why we're showing a negative variance on technical invoices. But we're also showing again the impact of the grading system, which we intend to introduce this year. Major expenditures for this year that explain services, it's employment, depreciation is special project. I've spoken about this. Some out of the balances, and this brings me then to the emerging contractor training program. We're in construction management, finance for non-financial managers, construction management, plumbing, painting, plastering, bricklaying, roofing. This is the amount of money that we believe we utilize this year. We've set aside 47 million. And we're hoping that we will be able to provide training in all the skills that are indicated here. In terms of capital expenditure, computer equipment, as we are spreading, software, furniture for new offices, equipment, innovation app, motor vehicles, you can see it's not 4 million, it's 400. That's how much we have. This brings me to the end of my slide, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. That is the presentation. It's a mouthful, members, before you. I think let's engage with the presenter. Curtis Mabena, followed by Dambuza, followed by Mr. Stain, followed by Mr. Masango, in that order.
And good morning, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Chair, I just want to ascertain how many youth have been trained and which provinces have benefited thus far, particularly the youth program. You on slide 8, I think these numbers are not tied in here, on the chart for project enrollment for 2007-2008, and also chart for home enrollment 2007-2008. First, let's start with that one on chatbot project and that slide in here. Where you said, I think that's housing. No, on enrollment. Enrollment. That one. I think your speaker, the web project will speak, project approved, project rejected. I'm worried about the number there out in, I think, Northwest and the Western Cape. Project received is 29, project approved is 17, project rejected is 10. So it gives me a total of 27. But what happened to the other two? And then you check that one on Kaugeng, the Northwest, and the Western Cape. I think we have the same problem there. Also on the home enrollment, I think we have the same problem on Kaugeng, Northwest and Western Cape. So please, can you throw light upon all those and the questions I posed earlier? Thank you.
Jambuza?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson and the presenter. Mine is around the classification focus. Chairperson, I think NHBRC, I agree with the report that say they already made the proposal to the department, to the province. But I've got a problem because the Eastern Cape, when they came here during the budget hearing, they said they don't have the confidence with NHBRC, because they even said they are looking at for other options instead of utilizing NHBRC. But when I'm getting this presentation now, I don't get it. And I'm very much with the document is here, because I want to check now from the department if government has approved NHBRC to do all the registration work, all the work that NHBRC is doing, and then what are the possibilities of another province to take another route. And I think those relationships that have been raised, I think the NHBRC should clarify that to us. And then second question, the issue of the offices, the distribution of offices. Now I can see why you distributed offices in East London. Because I think I'm not happy about your distribution strategy. It means the old Transkei area is just neglected, as it was neglected previously. Because I imagine people from Alfredo going to East London to register in East London. It's that distance alone. And then I also want to raise the issue of access. I think even the nearest KZN, people don't have an access to your provincial offices. There's no access to those offices. You cannot go to Devon and get a registration form. Even if you have phoned those guys, you know, I have not registered myself even today because I phoned them several times. They don't even send you those forms. I don't know what's the problem. But I think we need to have another strategy. If you can use other offices, government offices, but then the constituent offices can assist you in giving an issue of the registration if you can have the arrangement system. And then sometimes your people should go down to the constituent offices and then meet the people around there. So you need to have a better strategy now that is going to have access to the people. And then the last one, the person. I think the issue of Matatiel is going to haunt you. Because last year when we were here, you responded to say Matatiel was not put forward to as a project. And now, when we asked the department this time, the MEC has said Matatiel is taken to NHBRC project. So I think you have to check on that one.
Thank you, Captain. Captain, I just want to stand up one of the missions that build the capacity home builders with particular focus on the uplifting of historically disadvantaged individuals. I just want to find out from the NHBRC how far are they realizing this mission, in particular with the really disadvantaged, especially in the rural areas. The other one that I was just want to find out from, one of their targets is the registration of projects and houses. And I just want to find out if they are going out or this registration is just people come to them, and but they are making it as a target from themselves. The one question that I want to find out, I think I didn't even understand it when it comes to the forensic policy. If you can just elaborate that, because I couldn't understand what forensic policy is all about, so that you can start it with that. But when you talk about training, I just want to find out in which area are those training. Because if you don't stretch the whole country with training, then you are concentrating in one area. Where are your training centers actually, especially when it comes to plumbing, building, and all those other sort of things? But the last one that I just want to find out, the enrollment of subsidy, especially the project. I thought when they do this project enrollment, Chairperson, the provinces, actually the agencies, shouldn't be sucking their thumb to say, this is the number that we think we are targeting. Shouldn't they be going to all these provinces saying, what are your subsidy projects that you are going to build this year? So that each and every province, they give you the number that they are going to build. So that even if we do this oversight, we can find out from the province. This is what you told NHRBC, that these are the projects that you are going to build. And if you do it, working on those things. Rather than just think of saying, I think we're going to have so many projects that are going to come from the province. Whereas the provinces themselves, they've got their own business plan that you can take from the business plan and say, this is what we have from KwaZulu-Natal and add it up and get the answer from them. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of my questions are going to overlap with what has been asked already, but there may be a different sort of slant on it. First of all, Chair, I want to agree with the Honourable Dambuza in terms of access. The amendment bill that we, I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before, that we approved specifically put the onus on the individual we intended building or extending to seek, what's the word again you say? If they didn't have to register, there's a word that you need, if you need to seek exemption. And I made it very clear then that the NHBRC had to go out and educate the people that, first of all, that is a requirement. And unless they actively ask for exemption, they would be deemed to be in contravention of the law. Now, that brings me to Honourable Dambuza's point about the accessibility. And I wonder if, in addition to constituency offices and such like things, if municipalities, because people have to submit claims to municipality and applications, if the necessary application forms and information couldn't be made available at municipalities as well, that can then be forwarded to the NHBRC satellite office. By the way, Honourable Dambuza, I suspect you're going to have to pay a late registration if you haven't registered yet, to which you've just admitted. Then, Western Cape doesn't have a satellite office. The Western Cape, I noticed, doesn't have a satellite office, and perhaps the reason why. Then, a very general question, Chairperson. If one looks at the actuals, particularly for 20708, as against the target in terms of performance, the actuals are all more. More homes have been registered, etc. And yet, it seems to be a direct contradiction when it comes to the finances. If you have more homes registered, then it takes than what you've budgeted for. It stands to reason that in terms of the money, you will equally have more money for registration. But the figures go the other way. So just some explanation there. Then training, Chairperson, you know it often comes up when we've got provinces about training, and I know it's one of Abena's pet questions. But does the NHBRC, they seem to do a lot of training. We don't see it coming through in provinces. Is there any mechanism of following up once the training has been done? Whether those people have become active in the industry, whether what happens to them? Is there some sort of mechanism that they can follow up? Then, Chairperson, one question that I'd like clarity on is particularly with the subsidy housing. You've got number of projects and then you've got number of units. And the project number appears fairly high as well. Is that, just confirm for me, if you say, and I'm just trying to find it here, if you say so many projects, whether it's 50,000 projects, would that be a project irrespective of whether there are 100 homes or 1,000 homes? You look at it as a project. And then you've got subsidy houses, units. Now, are you counting the houses twice? Are you counting them in the project as a project? So you're counting them twice. Now, Chairperson, we all know that every single subsidy house needs to be registered. The once again, the anomaly that I find here is that if we listen to the minister in terms of houses completed, and we compare it to houses registered, there's a distinct difference. I think the minister indicated some 200 houses were completed in the last year. There's not 200 houses that have been registered. So perhaps the NHBRC can't explain this, but if they could follow this up with the minister, because surely there should be, again, if every house is registered, and we get a report that so many houses have been built, then similarly, an equal number of houses for that year should have been registered. And that doesn't come true. Then, Chairperson, just lastly, the Innovation Hub, there is something that is existing now. Now, there's obviously ongoing work. Perhaps can, if you can just explain what that 10.5 million rand in the new budget, how that will be utilized in terms of the Innovation Hub. Thank you, Chair.
I have a mute one.
Over to you, sir.
Let me start with the easiest. Why no satellite office in the Western Cape? We have been informed for now Western Cape can cope with the current offices. We have not realized the challenges. But perhaps if we improve our distribution, we might have to relook at Western Cape. The issue of offices in the Eastern Cape entirely. It was...
Excuse me, you are saying Western Cape can cope with the current office. Where are those offices in Cape Town?
No, the only provincial office. The one that requires that we have another office in George. So that has not been approved yet.
Where is the provincial office as we speak in Cape Town? No, can't say East London, we're talking about Cape Town.
No, I can give you the. No, I've got it here. Gunflow, Belleville, Tiger Park, two village schools.
Okay.
So, that is something that they will take up with council. The chairperson of council is here.
Okay.
Regarding Eastern Cape, there was a debate about Utaka. And as I've shown, what council's views were that maybe we need first to tell the two. The current satellite office, if it's working well, will then consider opening another office. But at the council level, there's also a debate about establishing mobile offices in provinces like Eastern Cape and Northern Cape. But that decision has not yet been taken. So we're also looking at that. Why do we talk about mobile offices? In some provinces, you find that the number of people that come and enroll in a particular town is very small. So what council is looking at, where we cannot have a satellite office, is a mobile office. So we will take that up. The idea of utilizing constituency offices is to ask that for to put before council. And this division to municipalities that work in progress. That we have taken care of. Now, training in rural areas. This point was raised by this committee in the previous year. When we went out for tender for the provision of training in the country, this time around we said to each and every service provider, training should be provided in every corner of South Africa. Just that I'm not giving the breakdown. Each and every province has been subdivided in terms of the district municipality. And each municipality, urban and rural, service provider appointed in that province must be able to provide training. And that's why you see our graphs going up with training. If people organize themselves to send it to provinces, to send it to municipalities, there will always be a service provider. If you look at our usual training, we still offer home builder training. We've got three programs. If youth training program, which we give statistics on, we've got women training programs. We've said to the women organizations, including SAWIC, they must organize at least groups of people. If they can do that, we will make training available. Then we've got our traditional home builder training program. That is available to every registered home builder. This, despite where the home builder is, he can tell us, I've got X number of trainings, our services must be available. So it's at the request of each and every builder. That one is for free. And the cost of estimated is between 23,000 and 28,000 per annum. Every builder in the country is entitled to that training. This would be in bricklaying, construction management, finance, finance manager, painting, plastering, project management. It's free. That one has not stopped because in some of the provinces, when we exchange youth training program and women training program, they started to substituting the current training program. I've got statistics here with regard to training. As I said, I was doing this one. So I think I also have it for province. This is training for province. In Eastern Cape, we're targeting 500, we did 429. Free State, 390. Counting 1,061, that has been more training in that area. KwaZulu-Natal, 534. Limpopo 813, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape. So that training is taking place. But I'm going to also give you statistics on the youth training program. I've got about 77 in the Northern Cape. Just to explain again the youth training program, it was part of the minister's special project where we identify 100 youth in a province with a friendly municipality that will ensure that there are services in place. Why do we use the youth? Why do we use the word friendly municipality? A municipality's contribution is to have a service site. So that after giving theoretical training, the youth can do actual construction. We have had a problem in Zambia. We gave training in the Eastern Cape. We are unable to put the skills to work because the municipality has not set the site for the youth to do actual work. Now, why do we prescribe that we need set the site? It's because the youth are very fluid. Immediately after training, they want to be engaged. So we have run it successfully in Mugimole, sorry, Bela Bela, and of course this one in Northern Cape, we are running it. We've got agreement with KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Northwest. Those provinces will be launching their youth training program during the current year. Women training program is only in the Western Cape, where we've identified a group of women on the entry. I think there are 100 women there that have undergone training in the previous financial year. Now, forensic audit, what is it? There was a mention of different areas where we have done forensics. Forensics are done at the request of the province. The province will say to us, we have X number of units that was built between 1994 to 2002. Come and do an audit. If you look at Eastern Cape, they came late last year. We've got a very long list where we are still working with Eastern Cape. This is Eastern Cape town alone. If you compare it with the rest, you can see the others are very small. Eastern Cape came very last, and we are working with them. I'm not sure if I could read the name. They are very many. Yes, you can read a copy of it. Motherwell, there are quite a number. But this is work in progress. It's not yet completed for Eastern Cape. But if you look at Northwest, you look at some parts of Eastern Cape where we have completed our work would be Uchi, Matie, Soweto, and Zanembula. Those are the ones we have started there. And then Northern Cape, we've got Longland, Free State, we've got quite a number as well. We'll give you a list. Limpopo, Waterberg, Mopani, Zembe, Western Cape, Manenberg, there are quite a number. We'll give you this report. That is forensic audit. Now, what do we do in forensic audit? Two things. With forensic audit, we go on site, we employ engineering companies to do the forensic audit. We audit them. Because because it's not possible for the NLDRC to be in all these provinces. Now, the challenge in the market today is shortage of engineers. The R3 rate, we've been paying the C rate of the Engineering Council of South Africa, is another statutory body. But it's proving to us not to be that attractive. Now, we're considering, we're talking to provinces, we're going to move to the D rate, which is a little bit higher. So the cost is going to be higher, but it's a government rate on foreign. Now, we have been requested in some provinces to also assist them in construction, where we give them the database and say to them, these are the companies that can help you for the regular way. Which are the two provinces? Again, Eastern Cape. That's where we've got most of the problems. Northwest, they've done their appointed their own people, gave them the information. It has worked in Kanana. We've got a success story in Kanana. The houses have been rectified. That's how forensics work. But we do not dictate. The provinces or municipalities, after completed our forensic audit, they have the right to appoint whoever to do remedial work. If they come to us, we can assist them and work jointly with them. When we did that, initially people thought we were in construction as the NLDRC. I want to clear it to the members. We are not in construction, done by other people. We monitor. We do not do training ourselves. We use CETA accredited trainers. We monitor the activities of those trainers because we cannot have trainers ourselves in all the provinces. But as Eric Mulobi, we intend to have our own training center. We were asked a question about the innovation hub and the 10 million on the innovation hub. The structure on the side of testing is complete. It's the training center that is being completed now. Now we are going to buy our own equipment. We've been using part of the University of Johannesburg. We've got an agreement with them. But to improve our turnaround time, together with Agreement South Africa, we believe we need to have our own testing center and do our own tests. Secondly, we want to offer our own training. Thirdly, we need to maintain Eric Mulobi as a hub at the NLDRC. If you recall, the units within the hub remain the show houses. The units outside the hub are given to individuals. So that's part of the 10 million. The issue of owner builder, yes. Early this year, the President then signed off the amendment to the Act. The communication, yes, has gone, but we still need to communicate more. Owner-builder are people that say they want to be exempted from enrolling with the NLDRC. The process is looked after by the Registration Committee. But I think we need more communication to the public to know you cannot declare yourself an owner-builder. It's NLDRC. Through the Registration Committee after assessing, that will give you an owner-builder status. What are the disadvantages of owner-builder? The banks are very reluctant to continue to support those people. So that is giving us a positive spin. Because they are saying people will build, leave the house at risk and sell it. But we are still issuing our sale letters. We will tell the bank, this person in our view does not qualify, cannot be an owner-builder. We give that type of letter. It's not a nice letter, but we are supposed to speak what we believe is correct. That would push the person to enroll late. The question regarding the possibilities of another office in Eastern Cape I've spoken about. The offices in KwaZulu-Natal, there has been a debate of Newcastle and Portchester and Durban. That's a matter that we said the council looked at it thoroughly, and that is on test. I'm going to request registered houses. Yes, in the subsidy, I don't want to lose that one. It was about this slide. If you look at the project enrollment, if you look at this slide, target 10285. This will be the number of projects with units. Then we're hoping they will enroll more of the units taking from the previous financial year. What you see as actual there is number of projects with units, number of units, only 30, that's why I said it's double, which means half of them, of the 63, has been registered of the enrollment. The rapture is not the stage of home enrollment. But we also need to say the challenge we have in some of the provinces is still the debate on the what they call PHP. We have shown that in terms of our income at MHBRC, there are provinces that say this is a PHP project, which we are not trying to cover. They only pay the 1.1% enrollment fee. If they do not escalate it to a home enrollment, they will not pay us the 75. But the National Department, together with us, have been to provinces, we have said rural housing, like urban housing, needs proper planning. We must home enroll those units. That is a process. I think you need to again show the acuity of services and the figures between enrollment and revenue, that numbers. That will lead to Courtney, and I hope Dr. Malaga, you have the statistics on the youth, which I don't think I've covered the question. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Constitution. And in order to stretch the channel of all day, time failed. So when we do the budget, that we have to make assumptions, we look at the problem of statistics, get some estimates from the bank perspective. We try and work out what the level of houses from 100,000 to 400,000 to 600,000. So if the market changes in a particular year, that's not going to be affordable complexes, the value of the house comes down, the units might be higher, but unfortunately your fee structure, we thought that would be more 2 million houses. Your fee structure would be debated to 34,000. Then what happens is you find the market changes, situations change, and you find that your units go up, but you're only building houses under 500K. So you suddenly, it's very difficult to put the match between all these houses. When we do our budget, we do the statistical analysis, we base on the promise of statistics, they've got direct money information, and this from the banks as well. And hopefully that market stays the same. We've seen the inflation gap is first staying up, the starting last year could be full of bigger houses. And what the country did is built a lot of smaller houses, so the units are higher, but the fee didn't meet it. And, you know, and it's as simple as, unfortunately, as simple as that. I have a bunch of questions there.
Just to answer on the question of statistics in housing, Northwest and Western Cape. Yes, there was a shortage of two was outstanding, so that important outstanding was missing. And Western Cape is supposed to be show one that was outstanding at that time. And then Northwest is also one. So statistics two didn't show the outstanding, only showed relief approved rejected. Those would be the outstanding.
Okay. Are you done? Are you done, Theo?
Yes.
We just want to go back to the issue of Eastern Cape. One of the things that it was said here by the MEC is that the registration, but their registration on, they are reconsidering registration with MHRC because they are saying it delays the process of the housing development. I don't know how. But that was the outcry. And secondly, they have given MHRC 34 million. That's why we wanted him here. They've given NHBRC 34 million for NHBRC to do rectification. So I'm glad your explanation is that you assign companies to do that. You don't do rectification yourself. But the understanding in the Eastern Cape is that you do the remedial work and it's not a mortgage. Because we were questioning them about the visit that is to be done by the portfolio committee in the Eastern Cape. There's no mortgage. They said, no, there's no movement because we've given money to NHBRC to do this work. So I would urge the NHBRC, particularly the leadership here, yourself, CEO, and the chairperson, to visit Eastern Cape. Have an engagement issue with the NEC and raise this issue. But we would like a situation whereby in this committee we know exactly where we are in terms of those questions regarding those projects visited by the minister and ourselves. Because there's no movement there. But the blame is put on NHBRC on both of the Tambombeki area, where they said that they're waiting on reports from yourself. That's why they're not moving. And I can see in this list, it is not included. So it makes things worse, which means there's no movement there. because no inspection has been done. So we don't know. Members, I think we don't want to divert that to go that route, because that's why I'm saying could be rescued by LA. And please, when you go to the Eastern Cape, give us a report. You can send a report that you have engaged with the Eastern Cape. This is the state of the affairs in the Eastern Cape. We did not raise it in the chamber when we were debating, particularly because we have not engaged with you on the matter. So it does need some wrapping up, because it's important that some movement is happening there. I don't know, but there is a negative attitude on the side of the NEC as far as NECRC is concerned. Yes, Mabena, followed by Masau, Mangele, Khawe. I'm looking in front of those who have not spoken. Yourself, say, and Mr. Say.
Thank you. I'm going back to saying, Chairperson, I just want to raise this to the NHPRC. Whenever they raise issues, we note them. 2006, and we said that in our debate, that you signed, I think it's a recital of explanation on the same one policy. You said you signed MOU with provinces like Mpumalanga, Mpumalanga, but you're repeating that to say that you are going to. So it seems nothing has been done. But then you said, because I said that in my speech last year, that this is going to happen. But now it's coming back as if it's new. I'm worried about that as an individual, because I noted that about this train. Secondly, you said on a fixed expenditure, that's what imaging contractor training. That's very important. But what is that our people are ever imagine? And what's the role of NHBRC on job placement? Because I'll suggest that we should recommend to this established contractor, this people should be, in a way, the chairperson use this incubation process. You must put them through, because we don't need this people to be ever imaging. And for the rest of us, imaging, that's not right. So I would urge that you must do something, or explain, convince me that something, you're going to do something about this matter. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay.
Can I thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, membership of the council. On youth training, I think perhaps it clicked our CEO. We don't want to do training for the sake of training. Training must be attached to projects that are enrolled by municipalities, serviced by the municipalities, so that after the youth has been trained at the cost of the NHPRC, they are then absorbed by the municipalities into their project. Now, why do we call them friend municipalities? Because those municipalities are prepared to work in tandem with our training program. In as long as municipalities don't enroll projects, it becomes fruitless for us to roll out training of youth, even women for that matter. So perhaps we should look at why municipalities are not enrolling projects. Then say, after the enrollment of projects, why is the NHPRC not rolling out the training of youth? This would be better. Unless you want to say something. But efforts we have done repeatedly in provinces to try sort out the issue of getting funds for housing. Thank you.
Before the CEO, please. Can I come in? I'm sorry, marketing. So don't you be sad. I'm sure there's something Mabena and myself don't know or don't understand. It's the term imaging contractor. I don't think we're associated
with youth. There are those people that are called imagine, that are contractors. Yes, we thought when you say imagine contractors, you mean those people. And there's a problem with those people. We are here market. There's a problem. These people are being trained, but the real contractors are bafuni. They don't take them along. That is why they remain imagine contractors all along, all the way. That is what Mabena wants to know. In fact, it was my question as well. That where Namakati, what do you do with this? After you have trained imagine contractors, that is why I say maybe.
Let's give an example. I'll go back to Macau in that order, but let me just clarify this aspect.
Yes, ma'am. This is the question which the chairperson of the NHBRC has been raising because I sit on the training, on the education and training committee.
Mm-hmm.
I have expressed concern about the post-training support for our trained, first of all, we have got the youth, then we have got registered home builders. Registered home builders are people who are already either owning their own small businesses or they are intending to open their own businesses. Now, when I raise this issue of support, the country is divided. There are those who say, no way is it mandated. That is beyond our mandate. That's the exact reply I always get. That is beyond our mandate. Our mandate clearly doesn't say we should be doing job placement for people. Though we have done our best with youth, saying that municipalities must have absorbed the youth after they have been trained. So that is the difficulty that we are faced with. Unless there is a new process that's put in place where NHBRC now must open a new wing authorized to take the people forward. Then some will even argue, say, you say the same thing about university. You say the same thing about the technical. Our mandate here, we are fulfilling. We are not doing that's some type of our trip. So those are some of the difficulties that we have. We are only relying on municipalities to assist by absorbing our trained youth and put them in the project in the hope that further down the line the youth will be better organized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just want to say the honorable member is correct. MOU to Mpumalanga, Free State, Northwest, yes, they were signed. Where was the problem? With them in Mpumalanga, they did not put the service. That's what caused the delay. Free State changed its project. We ended up in Upington, Northern Cape. Northwest, Kanana, they never made the site available. That's the correct version. The agreements are there. The implementation in Mpumalanga, we were in Mpumalanga, I think, 2 weeks ago. MEC has recommitted, the MEC has recommitted. We hope to persuade that province to make the site available. Yeah, still MLAC. So you are absolutely correct. With regard to the Eastern Cape, we have had 2 sessions trying to get hold of the MEC. On 2 meetings, we couldn't link with the MEC. When I'm saying they are standing MEC, I'm meaning Eastern Cape and Limpopo. Limpopo have met, we're going to have a second round. It has been very difficult, but we said we'll continue to try to have space with the MEC of Eastern Cape, the new MEC of Eastern Cape, for the meeting, but we'll do that. Regarding job placement and incubation, it's a very good program for emerging home builders, but it requires the involvement. year we had what we call top 50 barrels countrywide. We visited each and every province.
Mm.
Indicated to the top 50 that the emerging barrels are saying to us, you are underpaying them. They subcontract them, and they pay them very meager amounts for the work they do.
Mm.
And now we see emerging on barrels pulling out of those contracts. Secondly, when we confront some of them where we are involved, the argument is late payment. They say they are not paying emerging on barrels because they have not been paid by government. So that sometimes pulls back emerging on barrels. But I think the incubation program is still a good program. We will not stop talking to the top 50, saying to them, show your will to help emerging on barrels, but it needs them also to participate. But those are critical challenges. Poor payment,
mm.
and secondly, failure to pay emerging on barrels. That causes them to be emerging forever.
Mm.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Can you give Master...
Is that a follow-up?
No. Follow-up.
What's the question? On the report of the MOU, can we have it? Because we might be in Kumala.
Okay.
So that we can put pressure on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can
we have that report?
Yes.
Kumala,
thank you, Chairperson.
I understand it was said there are more people who have been suspended because they refuse to go and repair, if I got it well. So my question is that, is there no agreement that is being signed before the process starts that we should include the repairing? Thank you.
Okay.
Huh?
My question is for the few mics.
Use your mic there.
Which would relate to one another. My other question would relate to the latter question here of suspending of contractors. Whether the system of you suspending contractors is through listing or what method are you using, and how sure are you that the contractor might move from one province to the other and do work from the other side? How do you do it? Because for change name or etc., you tell us maybe. And also there are issues here where we say there are rejections of involvement. What prompts the rejection of involvement or contract? The registration of contractors. Maybe can you mentioned as well that the province. All municipalities are paying contractors late and thus contractors remain ready. What role do you play there in relating to municipalities as MCRC? Do you have any influence or have you ever maybe raised it as municipalities or local? The other issue is Kanama, Juveken, and Kuma. On your list here, I've seen that you went through your inspections in Juveken Extension 24 and Kuma and Kanama. Fortunately, I come from there, and I see that there's still estimated certification cost outstanding. I don't know, is your report complete in Joburg and Kanana, because this project was stuck for 2 years, and we are going to the third year, and this was a pilot project of 5,000 units, and in Kuma, specifically in Kuma, Kuma has been classified as a domestic area. And I don't see Kuma included, Chief excluded, so I don't know what is the reason. But Jordan and Kanana, are your inspectors still on site? Because my constituency inspector for every time when I come there are problems. About 1,600 houses are standing empty, being vandalized every day, and government has spent a lot of money. Now, I don't know the late enrollment of these two projects. I was working in the housing department. I started the registration of these three areas. It took almost a year for NHBRC to respond to the registration. There was queries with the province, etc. I cannot dwell too much on that. But I'm saying, what progress have we achieved in these two projects? Because this is a pilot project from the national office of eradication of informal settlement, and this project is still running. The kind of method that the engineer is using, I was on site. It's quite unacceptable. It, it's almost breaking the whole structure down. I don't know whether it is the method that NHPRC has recommended. Or obviously, when you check your foundations and quality of your work on site, you use the Jakama. But the method that has been used there is quite a different method, which really cut the quality of the house. So I don't know, maybe you can respond to that. That would be my last question.
Masango?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Which of
course, please? Chairperson, I just want to find out first with this forensic hit with the explanation, but I just want to find out, I see what Runotal and Mpumalanga have not yet applied. Whether is it optional that they can apply or they don't apply it after that, you leave it like that. But what I wanted to ask is, let's just go to chart of inspection, which I wanted to ask a certain question there, if you can go to that slide. Oh, that's right. You know, I normally believe in today's target cannot be tomorrow's target. And I'm looking at 2006 and 2007 where your actual is above so far. But in 2007 and 2008, you decided to bring the target so low. I just don't understand it.
Chairperson, I wonder if we can be told what the relationship is between complaints for the houses that are registered on time before they start building and late registration. Is there some sort of relationship that we get more complaints on late registration because there'd be no inspections than obviously on the ones that are registered before they start building? Then,
can I just make a connection, because there is confusion here. Houses are involved, or projects are involved, but it is the builders who are registered.
Thank you for that, Chairperson. Well, the sort of relationship between the enrollment of houses before they actually start building and late enrollments in terms of complaints. Then, I just want to get back to the innovations of the 150 million rand budgeted for. If I understood correctly, part of that was the subsidization of material costs. Now, how is NHBRC going to determine where they're going to subsidize? Which builders are they going to subsidize? Presumably, this is only subsidized housing, where they're going to subsidize the material costs. But it could very well be a problem, because everybody could then expect that subsidization of the material. And it could lead to other provinces and other projects coming to a halt and saying, but in fact they're getting more than the subsidy that they should be getting. Then just in terms of the audit that was done, Chairperson, and the estimated cost, this was, I see there's a date here of, October 2000, no? Oh, this is the current date, I think, 10th of the 6th. The estimated cost, at what date was it? Estimate done, because surely if it was done a year ago, it would change. And then also, does province pay NHBRC for these orders, or does it come through the national office?
Thanks. Okay,
thank you. Now, this is a friendly question. NHBRC is truly uncertain.
The actual allocation of projects is absolutely
under the building department?
The issue of, I'm going to start with repairing and suspending of home builders. Each and every registered home builder, by law, is supposed to complete each and every unit. Now, if a housing consumer comes to us during construction and say, I'm unhappy, we say to that home builder, undertake the major action. If our inspector on site realizes there is a non-compliant, he issues the first ticket, the yellow ticket, saying, go and repair. And unfriendly home builder will not repair. Then we issue a red ticket. That's the second non-compliant. The third one, then we issue a non-compliant, the red ticket. Once the red ticket is issued, then the builder is suspended. What are the implications? He will not enroll new houses. That's the level of suspension. You have not yet started with disciplinary action of that builder. You want him to go back and repair. Now, once you get this red ticket, that complaint is now a validated complaint on the system which affects your drainage as a builder. You're trying to create that relationship with suspension. You will not be put on the complaint list for the yellow ticket, because the yellow ticket tells you have not done something right, do it right. Now, with regard to destructive and non-destructive methods of remedial action, that is the province of an engineer. In some instances, the engineer would recommend jacking, uplifting, and piling of a housing unit. In some instances, the engineer would recommend complete destruction of the unit. That it's like a recommendation or an approval by a medical doctor. Once they say you change the prescription, we change the prescription. Regarding the relationship between municipalities, we are trying to influence SALGA. In each and every province, like you have seen, we are starting satellite offices. MNGRC has appointed special people called PSA. They deal with the provinces and the municipalities. They are the subsidy people and marketing people. We are trying to influence municipalities in that way. Regarding home builders moving from one province to the other, it's only those who have got more than one ID that will succeed, because each and every builder, like when you register, we take your details. But if you have got two IDs, you will escape the list. Now, when you register, there are certain requirements. Firstly, your credit worthiness, your residential area, like a ticker type of information. That's what we capture. Now, regarding Kuma, which is dolomitic, it's very difficult to deal with dolomitic. You need a clearance from the engineer. If you recall the Kanana and the Jogotin problem, it was the Toro Africa problem, where Toro Africa was appointed to do the work to start enrolling. We were called in very late. We stopped the project. It wasn't really a good deal. The province was not very impressed, but the new MEC started to support us, saying, if it's not enrolled, enroll it. Just that I'm not giving the statistics on Robertson, what has been done, but if I go according to this report, Extension 24 and Extension 14, the number of units assessed is at 2,884. Late enrollment and 2,600. What happened? They did forensic audit. They had to undertake remedial work. It's only after that that we can accept an enrollment. Unless that is done, the unit will not be enrolled. Now, regarding KwaZulu-Natal and the other province that have not come forward to the forensic, yes, it's optional. We will not force them if they've got their own engineering team working. Like we're saying, the actual project is NHBRC assisting those projects where they even need. So the low target on inspection, I'm not quite sure why we said it low. This I cannot account for. I think there should be a better reason. I've asked Malaga, Dr. Malaga, to work on that one. Subsidization of material stuff. Now, who pays forensic audit? Forensic audits are paid by the provinces. So they have a choice. I think I mentioned the rate charged by Engineering Council of South Africa. we are saying to province to finish to negotiate. We are moving to B because we are not attracting enough qualified engineers. Material supply and subsidization. There are two processes. We have engaged, except for the two provinces, we are saying we still need to meet with the MEC. There is a proposal to support emerging material suppliers. The challenge has been just that requires a full presentation, but we've talked to all the provinces. We are saying most of our emerging material suppliers lack financial support, do not have experience in import-export. Now, we will only support those emerging home builders that have secured supply contracts with provinces. We have given three models that provinces are now discussing with us. Model one is where provinces themselves warehouse. Where the province is not warehousing, it should be the agency of the province, likely to be the municipality. Model two is where the provinces themselves will identify contractors and suppliers who would warehouse. Model three is where material moves from directly from the material supplier to site. The reason I engage with all these meetings with the MEC, we are saying what is the best option. We also looked at the option in Gauteng, where there was some units in public works working with housing. We have interacted with housing, IPOPOM, I think that's what they call it. We have also interacted with IPOPOM. We will be submitting a final report to Minister. So we have done reserve the amount. Once there is something that is feasible and can support housing. I need to say we started with cement, but we are now talking about every material that goes into a housing unit. Bricks, for example, emerging home builders, cement, door lock, everything. But that still needs to be accepted by provinces who will be taking the full responsibility of purchasing. And the NHRC does give support for those who can do it. The relationship between late enrollment and remedial work, there is a serious link. Most of the units that are enrolled late are likely to result in remedial work. With regards to complaints, we have not done a link between late enrollment and complaints. But what we have is complaints versus the number of units. If your number of units increases, your complaints are likely to increase. That's the correlation we have today.
Okay.
We also require guarantee in terms of the new act. It was not in the previous act, and we were challenged in court. Now that it's an act, whoever enrolls late needs to give a guarantee. This creates a bit of discomfort for many contractors because some of these late guarantees run into millions. They feel government is strangling them by saying we want to have some form of guarantee. But we are seeing gradual acceptance in terms of those guarantees. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to say, I think we have engaged with NHRC. There are a number of areas that came up. One of the things that members were raising here was the issue of accessibility of NHRC, which means we're saying revisit your provincial spread. So to make sure that it is accessible as possible. We're also talking about when we had an engagement with Eastern Cape, we thought you were overwhelmed with work. Perhaps we have given NHRC lots of work that NHRC cannot manage. But your engagement with the NHRC will give us an idea of where we are in terms of that concern. In terms of the incubator process of emerging contractors, I think NHRC is best suited to deal with that. One, NHRC has got a database of contractors themselves, the top 50 or whoever. Also, NHRC has got database of non-performing, even emerging contractors. So, because they are not immune from problems themselves. But we understand the fact that your mandate is not there right now. But we need an assistance from NHRC to say, how is this could be done in a way that not compromises the mandate of NHRC, but it assists the process, because somewhere, somehow, we need to deal with this thing. We cannot let it in abeyance for long. We're not saying something that can be solved today, so that at the end of the day, government come up with incentives in helping those contractors who are able to pay the emerging contractors on time, who are able to pay them well, not those who underpay them. So we are saying that should be work in progress, that any bill should think about, so that when the chairperson raises it at the council, you must know that it's got the mandate of the committee to work on it. But we're not hoping to solve it tomorrow, but it should be a homework that somehow within government, you must say where this responsibility of this incubator process is going to be residing in. We hope the coming of the ATA would also assist the process, but we're not sure. We cannot be sure of something that we are forming. So we have to see in terms of implementation of what direction it takes. But we have all the hopes that it's going to get off the ground well. Numbers, I don't know. I was just summarizing because otherwise we can sit here and move in circles. But we are happy with the engagement, but we are anxious about Eastern Cape. That is the message of this committee, but so far, so good. Thank you, members.
Amen.
The meeting stands again.
Hallelujah.
Okay.